The Marion Finucane Show on RTE Radio 1 with Ireland's savings specialists. Rabodirect, the straight-talking savings bank.
I'm reading in today's London Times about an experiment carried out by neuroscientists from University College London, where they were trying to find out where on the trajectory from sober to drunk is your wit and eloquence at its peak. The 30 volunteers had an evening of drinking gin to see if they ever reached a sweet spot of inebriation, i.e. that point where they become less self-conscious but much more interesting and articulate. And the result? Sorry about this, folks. It seems the volunteers were at their most lucid and at their brightest at the start before they took one single gin. They actually got less articulate after a few drinks. So Dr. Daz, who led the study, said the idea of alcohol making you more creative is not supported. Anyway, we'll have other tips for you on how to handle the season. Tips on photography, what's on TV, food, all that kind of jazz after the news. But now we go, no we don't, now we pause for the Angelus. And thank you very much indeed, Susan. Now, a couple of callers were on to say, wanted to say, how is a person supposed to get any housework done with the fascinating discussion with Maureen Gaffney going on? I'm here with the Hoover ready, but can't put it on. Enjoying the show as always. Keep up the good work. Happy Christmas. Well, good luck with the hoovering. Mind you could do a bit about cooking or something, which is a little bit quieter. Marion, thank you for allowing us to link into Maureen and her terrific brand of common sense. She's our greatest national asset, Maureen for Taoiseach. Now, there you go. I hope Maureen is listening to that. Now, later on in the programme, we'll be looking at various things people have on their mind at this time of the year, all sorts of things. I suppose particularly entertainment and that in the home. But anyway, this is Michael McIntyre's take on this time of year.
Now, of course, in December, ladies and gentlemen, it's all happening. The festivities have begun. We are in to the festive period, which, of course, means huge amounts of eating. For most of us, we eat more than we will ever normally eat at Christmas. It's a time of year to test to see just how much we can eat. On Christmas Day, I eat until the announcement. I eat until I lean back and go, well, that's it. I can eat no more. I'm completely and utterly stuffed. I can't eat another thing. I will never, ever eat again. And I mean it. Half an hour later, I'm going to have a sandwich out of all the leftovers. Christmas. I can't believe I missed deleting. I genuinely believed I would never eat again half an hour ago. I have an amazing capacity for food. And of course, all the traditions now, all the traditions of Christmas, which we love. I mean, without the traditions of Christmas would not be what it is. But the point is, we don't really like all of them, but we pretend to because it's Christmassy. Mulled wine, hot wine. We don't like hot wine. We spend the whole year avoiding hot wine. Tea, coffee, hot wine? Why are you offering me hot wine? But at Christmas, oh, I love this hot, spiced, boiled wine. Sickly, sweet wine. It smells nice. After one sip, it's quite nice. Then it starts to cool, then you abandon it. No one's ever finished a mulled wine. I don't think I really match that. Brussels sprouts? Why do we put ourselves through this annual bush tucker trial? We don't like them. Who decided we should be eating these squashed up vegetable fart balls every year? We don't even like turkey. We don't eat turkey all year. There's no Kentucky Fried Turkey. We don't like turkey. It's quite a dry, flavourless meat. You only have a look at what we do to it to tolerate it. Okay? We cover it in cranberry sauce and gravy. We stuff it with meat we'd rather be eating. Bread sauce? Since when was bread a sauce? Do you want some bread sauce? Yes, pour that bread all over my turkey. More fart balls? Don't mind if I do. I think more about hot, sickly wine. And crackers. Who looked at Christmas lunch and said, I know what this needs, a paper hat, a bad joke, and some toenail clippers. We wouldn't choose any of these things if we had the choice. At no time during the year would we go to a restaurant, the waiter comes over, can I get you the wine list? Have you got any hot wine? Hot, hot, sickly boiled fruity wine. That I don't like after one sip. You got any of that? Like any bread for the table? Liquid bread. Have you got liquid bread? Like someone's chewed up a loaf and put it into a jug? I'm going to pour that over my main meal tonight. Chef's special is the chicken. Have you got a drier, less flavoursome meat like a turkey? Any side orders? Have you got any fart grenades from Belgium? Is there anything else I can get you? I think a mini sewing kit would round this off quite nicely. Oh, and actually, wait, half an hour after I've finished, I want everything again in a sandwich. Thank you.
Ask the Specialists on the Marion Finucane Show on RTE Radio 1 with Ireland's Savings Specialists. Rabodirect, the straight-talking savings bank.
And we are moving on now to what might be called the snap-happy part of us. And I presume around Christmas was one of the times where people take photographs, and the ones of the new baby and the ones of the first Christmas and so on and so forth. Well, I'm joined by a professional photographer this morning, Barry McCall. You do loads of the famous and the celebrity and all of that in portraiture.
Yep.
But what about the ordinary stuff that people want to do?
Like portraits at home and little snaps of people over Christmas and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's an awful lot of photographing going on now because of phones.
Yeah, well, the quality of the phones now, between your iPhones and your Samsungs and whatever the latest model is, the quality of the imagery you're getting from them is pretty damn good, you know? And if people only took the time to print the images afterwards, the quality is there, they can do beautiful prints for your wall, you know, but they are snaps. They're not, I wouldn't call them real, you know, real photography, but they're snaps.
Well, if somebody wanted to move up a step from a snap to a photo,
you can go to there's the what I call the like the in between level is the sure shot little camera, like little pocket compact camera, like Canon do them, Nikon do them, and they take it extremely like high quality images. The camera itself judges the exposure, it judges the flash, it does everything for you. You just have to point and shoot, and they do a really, really good job. But at the end of the day, the image is really in the eye of the beholder, which way do you frame it and how do you take it in the composition.
Yeah, how do you go about that?
Well, for taking pictures of like family members, or you try and keep the background very simple. And you try and make sure that the subject of your image is pretty central on frame, unless there's something like wonderful happening in the background that you want to include in your image as well. But you try and make your subject the hero of the shot, and try and choose or try and use a fairly complementary angle, like nothing from below looking up the nose, or nothing from a side. That's not going to work, you know.
Yeah, that's what cruel siblings do to one another,
yes.
I think. Yeah. So we have to bear that in mind. And the old red eyes.
Oh, yeah. Like even that facility on a camera, red eye reduction, that doesn't really, really work. That's almost the light just being flashed straight in. It's like cat's eyes on a road. It's a similar kind of effect. So as soon as your flash is beside your camera straight on into you, are going to get that reflection coming back off. So if the camera's slightly off, if the light source you're using is slightly away from the camera, red eye will not happen.
If the light source you're using...
Like, so say if you're using a flash, again, we're almost like heading towards professional photography, but if the flash... the flashlight that you're using is away from the camera itself, you will avoid red eye. Literally, the red eye occurs from a flash flashing from a camera straight into somebody's retina and then boom, straight back out to you. So that's
right.
That's the red eye you're seeing.
Right.
Whereas the flash is it like off the camera, even a foot or two from either side, you will not get red eye.
Or if you had like your lamp.
Yeah.
You know, your normal reading lamp, if you had... the face to the side of that.
Well, even like a red eye wouldn't really happen from a constant light source, like a lamp you'd have at home or a bulb you'd have at home. It wouldn't happen with it. It's just the nature of flash photography. You get red eye, but like if you're taking pictures at home, the light source is from a lamp or from your lovely light in the hall or whatever. Constant light source. You can't take pictures below that. The quality of the cameras now and their ISOs, which means their sensitivity to light, is so good. You can take pictures with we'd call it ambient light. You can take pretty good pictures with that also.
Right. You believe that natural light is the best of all?
My favourite is daylight. After all, like in the majority of images that I take, we're trying to recreate daylight. Unless a client says to me, look, we want to recreate like a film noir kind of imagery or whatever, then we'd actually start using artificial lighting to create this kind of mood. But the majority of the time, if I'm shooting fashion, I would try and recreate daylight feel, because that's when the clothes look their best, and that's when, I don't know, you start seeing texture, you start seeing things as they would be in day, you know, everyday living. But daylight has a beautiful soft quality to it.
I thought you were looking for the opposite. I thought you were looking to use lighting to enhance texture.
It's everybody has their own little style or whatever. But when I'm showing off like a portfolio of work to a client, they always seem to go, "Oh, where was that done? How did you do that?" And it always is. You don't tell them. It's not immediate in the image that it is daylight, but they're the ones that they always seem to like. "Oh, that's really, really nice. Where was that done?" I go, "That's outside." And they're going, "You're kidding." Sometimes we cheat a little, but we actually bring inside backdrops outside into daylight and take the picture. So the model or subject is there looking absolutely beautiful. The backdrop is there. That's all the viewer can see. But if I just pull the camera back a little bit, we could be on a beach because there's a particular quality of light going on there.
Right. So if Santa has come for the first time ever and you want to catch the moment, do you go down to the floor to catch a child there, rather than taking a picture?
Yeah, you can go there. You're dead right. I'd actually let myself go down to be at eye level with the child. And also, if you could, it probably happens in most people's houses that if the tree or where the presents are is near a window, daylight, please. And especially with a child, they have the most brilliant reflective quality in their eyes, that if they are beside a window, their eyes are just absolutely glistening and, you know, just... You want to dive into the eyes,
right? Yeah.
if you can get them beside a large window in a house when they're opening their gifts, happy days.
Right, because funnily enough, there was another clip we were going to play. They're talking about adults now, you know, acting. Kids don't act, you know, in the sense that you're going to get the real reaction and that's it.
Yeah,
you know, is the other thing to take loads and loads and loads of pictures?
Yeah, it's a funny one. Like, we have a habit when in the old days of film where you were restricted to either 24 or 36 exposures on your roll of film, that we'd be kind of sparing about it. But because it's digital, it's not going to cost anything to shoot a few more frames. The main thing is get the shot. Like if you shoot 3, 4, 5, 10 frames, just keep on looking at the back of your camera or your back of your phone, and just make sure you have the image you want.
Right.
Yeah. There's no harm in shooting a lot of frames. Practice makes perfect as well.
When you take a photo, this is a listener wants to know, when you take a photo on your phone and iPad, you can make adjustments, which I can't do on my main camera. I don't know what that means.
Are they talking about Photoshop or getting into a program or?
Tell me about Photoshop.
Photoshop, the way we would use Photoshop is as soon as we take an image, we download it onto our computer and we would actually grade the image. We'd almost try and give it a filmic feel. We'd either make it black and white or we'd change the tonality or make it lighter, make it darker to our taste. You know, years ago, we used to shoot on particular films that would have effects that we would like. You know, if we went in for a particular portrait, we might use a particular high contrast film, which would give the end product a particular look.
Right.
Now we actually shoot a digital file. We bring it into the computer, open it in Photoshop, and we put that quality onto that image. We layer that quality onto that image. Yeah. So it's almost a cleaner way of doing it than years ago, but it really is the same, you know. But you Photoshop, or else there's another program called Lightroom, which you can use as well. That's a fabulous thing. That's almost like it's not as detailed as Photoshop, and it's quite easy to use.
Right. Let me just go back to what she was saying again, or he, I don't know which I cannot do, that you can make adjustments to the result of your iPhone or your iPad or presumably any phone that you cannot do on the main camera. Well, it's probably using what you're talking about.
It's a really good question, because what you should do is try and take the picture as close to, we do a thing called pre-visualization. It sounds like really... Anyway, when we're taking a picture, the majority of the time we know the way it's going to look before we even take it. So when you're taking your picture, try and visualize the way you want it to be. So make the picture you take as close to the way you want the output to be. Is that making sense?
Yeah. They used to do that, did they not, with the instant ones? What, with the Polaroids?
Polaroids are brilliant. Yeah. They're on the way back up now as well.
Are they?
There's a huge trend. The sales of Polaroid has shot up. And that used to be one of my favourite mediums.
I wonder why.
With all this hacking and whatever going on, people are preferred to take their snaps at home, or there's this beautiful quality to the Polaroid as well, and it's private, it's yours, you keep it at home. Yeah. Scan it if you wish.
I'm interested in privacy, I have to say. I have to say, as I'm sure even Sony would agree with me now. Is there any way to make sure you come out well in a photo? I always look dreadful. Why are some people more photogenic? I think that's a very good question.
I think a certain bits of that is how kind God was in the genes.
Well, that too,
There's a little bit of that. But some people, you could see maybe you're out in a restaurant one night, you look at five people, there's one person in the middle of it and you're looking at them going, why am I attracted to that person? And it's really all about numbers. It's all ratios and numbers, the reason why they work so well in a photograph naturally, lucky them. But if you're one of these people who's looking to have a little bit of a better look in pictures, check out the way you're standing. I don't know whether the person is talking about out socially or what scenarios they're talking about, but socially, check out the way you're standing. Are you really full flat onto a camera? That's you at your biggest. How to say it?
Flat on.
So what you could do is like make a little adjustment. Maybe put yourself one third onto the camera, so you're narrowing yourself off to the camera.
Right.
And also just check out the angle that the photographer's taking the picture from. Is it below chin level they're doing? You know, is the camera down low? Or is the camera about face level? If the camera's face level, that should be a pretty good angle of you.
Right.
And if you see that the camera's a little bit lower, just try and dip the chin down a little bit.
Dip it down?
Just dip it down, yeah. People have this tendency of raising their chin up and stuff, and you really don't want to be looking up your nostrils.
To hide the double chin.
There's a funny one. It's not as if you're trying to squash the chin down or anything. It's a little body lean. Lean forward just a touch and let the chin come down a little.
Right. Okay, well, I hope that is helpful to people. I got my photo taken once at a function and the photographer got me to sit down and look up. It was the worst photo ever. Well, and this question is, what are the best positions? Well, you've just gone through it.
Yeah, stand up, a bit of an angle on, chin a little down.
A little angle on is that little turn.
It's a little turn away from the camera. Either like some people have a natural side, they may let their right shoulder go back or their left. You have your own natural way. People have a tendency of leaning to one side, you know. I personally have a right shoulder that goes back. That's the I hate getting my picture taken anyway, but I
see.
No, I really, really do.
But how do you take photographs of people who hate getting their photograph taken?
A certain bit of it is communication, to try and put people at ease. I never, when I'm, how to say it, like if somebody arrives into a studio, I try and give people as much of their space as possible if they're getting makeup and hair done and styling and whatever. Just give them all the room in the world and then, you know, come in and say hi, let them be. And then I say, when you're ready, come on in. So you give them all the space. And as soon as they arrive in, chat to them constantly. I've seen it when I got a picture taken once that I was left in silence and every so often a flash would go off and I'd go like, what's going on here? Please tell me what I'm supposed to do or else, you know, it could be idle banter about anything. Put somebody at ease and constantly chat or else tell the person the way you want them to be. Again, if you are taking pictures at home over Christmas, just say, chin down, bit to the left, smile or tell or even give them a good count in. 1, 2, 3, snap.
There you go. Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, some people, I think, even like having their photograph taken.
Yeah.
God knows why. I think it's like going to the dentist. I'm hearing you right, Polaroid photo. Oh, this is somebody else taking you up. Am I hearing you right? Polaroid photos are always awful.
No.
Why? Is it because you have them printed immediately? The other thing I thought that they did was that they faded. You know, that they would only last for so long?
It's kind of it's an aesthetic quality. The Polaroid has, there's a feel to them. And it really is a moment in time that'll never be repeated. In days of old, when we used to do photographic shoots, the first photograph we'd take of a garment or a person would be the Polaroid, just to check the lighting, make sure everything was working.
Yeah.
And then we'd actually start shooting on film.
Yeah.
And it's really funny, ever so often, the client would go, could we have the way the Polaroid looked at start, please? So it's just a snap, it's an instant that will never happen again. And just the quality, the colouring, the feel of the thing. I used to shoot a lot of campaigns just on Polaroid. For clients.
Really?
Yeah. Like in fairness, it was large. It was like a 10 by 8 inch Polaroid, but just the quality of it, the colours and everything.
And does it last?
Yeah, like they're still there. Now it does fade. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But sometimes even the fading quality of it appeals to me as well.
Does it? Yeah.
Like in the portrait book I did about 4 years ago, there is, I think, about 20 images in there that are Polaroids. And you couldn't tell. There's just a certain quality. People say, how is that done? I go, I shot that in Polaroid with such and such a light source. And
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, you've done them all. I was looking at that one you did of Saoirse Ronan,
yeah,
which was quite an extraordinary picture.
It's when we were putting that book together, myself and Caroline Downey were chatting, and she was, she produced the book for me, and she said, who is on your wish list? And like one of the first names that came up, if not the first, was Saoirse Ronan. And she went, really? I was going, absolutely. And I loved her in a movie. I'm just trying to think. I'll remember the name in a second. But she just had a certain quality to her that I thought was really kind of Joan of Arc. And I said, if I ever get a chance to photograph her, I want her in a chainmail balaclava and just really simply shot, kind of like almost like religiously iconic kind of photograph. And lucky enough, she'd finished the movie called Hannah, and she looked amazing. And she arrived in the studio, and a lovely lady, Joan Bergen, in costume mill, managed to source a chainmail balaclava for me. So it all came together. Saoirse arrived in, said, what are we doing today? I said, you're wearing that. And the thing weighed a couple of kilos, and when she put it on her head, it was almost leaning to one side.
I gather that's a problem for the Queen of England as well, actually. Yeah.
But it's one of these moments that it was meant to happen. As soon as she put it on, everybody in the room went, we see where you're going. We know exactly what you're out in that. And luckily, her parents were in the room when we were doing the picture, and they went, oh. So we printed off a couple of images immediately and gave them to her parents to take back home as well. But that was just one of them moments that that happens.
Right,
you know?
It's absolutely beautiful. And you did Brendan Gleeson and Michael Fassbender, Liam Cumming, all of the greats and the good. You also do classes.
Yeah, we do courses, two a year. We do them in February, so there's one coming up, and October. But it really takes people from beginners all the way up to being able to take pictures in a studio, which is, it's a fairly full-on course, but it's very hands-on. We teach you all technical stuff in the morning, and then in the afternoon of the course, you actually end up taking pictures of professional models and actors. So it's a really good course to be on. It's great fun for me. I really enjoy the teaching buzz, and I just love seeing somebody from, it could be a housewife from Roscommon coming in, and she's able to dismantle her camera, reassemble her camera, and take her own exposures. You know, but the snap cameras and the phones, you're just literally pushing a button. When you're taking a real picture, you're deciding how you want the picture to look, whether you want it slow exposure, how much you want in focus. And at the end of the day, my pupils can actually make all them judgments themselves. And
after how long?
After one day. Their heads are exploding.
Right.
They really are. We're giving them a lot of information, but because the course is so hands-on, they are taking professional pictures by the end of the day. So
great stuff. Okay, well, listen, thank you very much indeed. As I say, some of those photos are well, I mean, you are the professional.
You can see them in Noshington Cafe on South Circular Road at the moment. There's a little exhibition going there, which is lovely. So,
oh, great. Yeah. Okay, listen, thank you very much indeed. Barry McGraw.
Thank you.
Podcast The Marion Finucane Show at rte.ie/radio.